Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us.
Before we get to today's interview, I want to share a bit about one of my favorite Etsy shops. I've been buying stickers and sweatshirts, and I love what she's doing. So let's hear about Queen Bee Reads, and then we're going to get to today's interview with my friend Becca, who wrote a book. And I have to tell you, I've been all the way through this book writing process when she started. So I'm so excited for you to meet her and to hear more about this whole process. Okay, bye. Romance lovers, check out Queen Bee Reads Etsy shop for cute and comfortable bookish apparel, tumblers, and stickers. Use code WHATTORead10 to save. To visit Queen Bee Reads Etsy shop, go to whatyourreadnextblog.com/queenbeereads. Hi, Becca. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you here. So we chatted a couple years ago, and so tell us what you've been up to.
Oh my gosh. And I think we actually chatted about the book that I am probably releasing in the next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So it's been a wild ride, but I never gave up, mainly because the people that love me and know me didn't let me give up.
Yes. I love this. I love the fact, like, you know, I got to witness your journey, and I think it's like so amazing to see like the whole process of it. Like, it's not, I ask this question to authors, and it's like no one linear process. It's like not just you write a book a month and then you publish it and you get an agent, you publish it, and you're just like, it'll be fine. Like, the reality is, it's like you write and you write and you write, and then you're like, you put it down, you come back to it, and then you realize, like, is it time? Is it ready? And then it goes to a million thousand revisions, and then when you're ready, it gets published.
You know, and it's so funny because I think that the people around me that aren't writers or like aren't at all in the book world, they keep asking me when it's going to be released. Mm-hmm. And I think a couple of years ago, I think when I was younger and a little less secure, every time someone would ask me that, I probably would have gone crazy. But I've hit the point in my life where I'm like, you know what? Every writer goes through this. Like, you hear it over and over again. I mean, no one goes on Oprah and was like, I wrote my first book in a month and it was like a New York Times bestseller. Everyone's like, oh, it took me 5 years. So this took me, what, 4 years?
Yeah.
Like, I'm fine with that. It's really, it's kind of interesting because I thought that would be something that would make me feel bad. And it's like, mm-hmm. No, don't feel bad about it at all. So anyone who's listening to this, if you have a half finished book, consider this your friendly reminder.
Yeah, just like pick it up, see what it feels like, and see if there's a gift there. Or maybe you want to take some parts and maybe, you know, plagiarize it into a new book. You know? Like,
it's and that still has your, happened. It's still your, I mean, work. This book is completely different than my first draft. I think that's the thing that's kind of crazy, is just how different it ended up being from what my original vision was. Mm-hmm. So, and I actually don't think I mentioned the title because we segued right in to Welcome Back. Yeah. So the book is called The Clarity Journal, and it is a book of my favorite prompts to help my coaching clients figure out what they're going to do with their lives.
Mm-hmm. I love this.
And figure out what they're going to do next.
Yeah. How to get some clarity.
How to get some clarity. We all need clarity.
So let's talk about what inspired you to write this book, or what was the source of inspiration, which I love the story.
Well, you're my source of inspiration. So this book started. So I'm just going to say Laura is the one who inspired me to write this book, because I was chewing her ear off about I was at a kind of like a turning point. I wasn't sure exactly which way I was going to go in my career. And I am a career coach. And so probably the 15th time I was going back and forth about this with Laura, she stopped and was like, okay, what would you tell yourself? And I can't even tell you, 4 years later, it still feels a little bit like a, not a gut punch because it's good, but like a slap over the head. I'm like, right. Yeah. What would I tell myself? And so I started writing all of these different questions down that I had been asking people for a decade, because I've been a coach for a long time. And as I started writing and answering for myself, I got so much clarity, and that's what's inspired me to write the book.
I love this. And so let's talk about that journey to get the book published. What was that journey like? What were some of the things in awareness? Because it's just like, it's happening. So you're making it happen, but it's like, it's a winding road, and it was a 4-year track.
Yeah, it was definitely a windy road. So I guess the journey was really, I don't know. I think that this is a pretty common thing nowadays. Mm-hmm. I feel like you should be able to figure out everything on your own. Mm-hmm. And you know, I did go to college. I haven't gotten a master's degree or anything, but I feel like, hey, I can reasonably write a book. I'm lucky. My husband is a writer/editor, for a lot of really amazing corporate clients. And so it's like, I've got this, I can totally do this. And then I spent that 3 years, I wrote the first draft, and kids and life happened. And so there's about a year where I wasn't really working on it in between the first draft and the second draft. And so I got it all written down. And then because it's a journal as opposed to like a regular book, the graphic design element of it was a lot more complicated. Mm-hmm. And I am not a graphic designer by trade. I play a graphic designer on TV, I guess. Mm-hmm. That describes how well I am, how good I am at graphic design. So I got this book, what I thought, totally done. And like, my husband had edited it, but my husband, as I said, was a corporate editor. So he really didn't help me with not plot development, but the mm-hmm. arc. Mm-hmm. So got this book. I'd like blood, sweat, tears, thought it was done. My aunt comes and visits me, and my aunt is an honest to God book editor. And she takes one look at it, and you could tell on her face, just like, oh, what am I supposed to say to this? I'm supposed to be encouraging. I can't be encouraging. Like, this needs to be totally redone. And I love my aunt, but that was, and I really value, she has given me a ton of help on this at this point. But she was really sweet about it, and really trying very hard to just meet me where I was at. Like, are you actually asking for my help? Like, I could help you. You could tell that was what was going on in her mind. So anyway, long story short, I asked if she could edit it. She was thrilled to be able to fix it, because I think editors love fixing things that aren't right. And so that process, since getting her to help, has been eye-opening. And I love being an indie author, and she really does mostly editing for indie. She's an indie publishing author. It's not, so she really did let me, like, she wasn't trying to like squash my voice or anything, but oh man, every time I'd get her edits and she'd edit something, so it meant something completely different. It was like this cringe inducing, like, oh God, obviously I didn't explain it well, because you thought I said something completely different. So it was a process. It was definitely like a humbling and inspiring process at the same time, because like all these people around me wanted me to succeed. And like, I love, once I started really sharing it with the world, just how many people like were invested in helping me. Like, without me even than having to beg or plead with them. Like they, you know, I think that's one of the cool things about writing just in general, mm-hmm. is people actually want to help you. I guess I'm betting that you probably feel the same way about podcasting. Like it's just one of those career paths that you can take where it's like people actually naturally, it's like, oh, that's really cool. Let me help you with that. Let me further you along, or you should connect with this person or whatever. It's really fun.
Yeah. I think it's like one of those things is like creative. It's a creative project that you just like connect with other people, and it creates like the space of like, of growth and a space of collaborations and community and aspect of setting, like you're doing something fun, you know, that it feels like a passion project that it can grow, right. You know?
Exactly. Yeah, that's totally right. And you're right. It's creative. Most things creative. I mean, musicians have tons of groupies. I've collected editors in my own life.
I love this. It was like, you know, somewhat an idea that was germinated and it took time to grow. And yet at the same time, you had the support, like it manifested in your life. Like it was in alignment that you were meant to write this book and you had the support system in place to write this book.
Yeah. And a support system I didn't even really know I had. Like, I wouldn't have just assumed that my aunt would help me edit this, like, without me even, I mean, she basically begged me to help, like, to let me. She basically begged me to edit my book. Yeah. You know, it's been really, the synchronicities involved have been really cool. But like the synchronicities have been really cool, but on the other hand, it's like I had to have stuck with it, right? Mm-hmm. Like it wouldn't, it's like if I hadn't been telling people about it because I had the second draft done, what I thought was the final draft ended up being the second of like four drafts. yeah, that's wonderful.
This is awesome. So let's chat about your upcoming projects because this is not going to be your only book. You realize that once you start writing, the floodgates open and more books came up.
Yeah, this is definitely not going to be the only book because it actually, part of it's also that it just feels like it's so massive to write your first book, mm-hmm. that it's like, I can't just write one. That would be wasting all of this information. I just, you know, all this, like the writing process. I've learned so much about the writing process in this. And I've read a lot of the books about writing process and I'm drawing a blank, like The Artist Way or Bird by Bird. But actually going through it, it's so different. And I mean, listening to other people's stories about it, or, you know, it's like so much less dramatic than my own.
Yes.
So the next project I'm working on, and I'm in the middle of research for it, is called Mindful Procrastination, 87 Prompts to Help You Gently Get Out of Your Own Way.
I love this. So how does your research process look like for you?
Well, I mean, I'm writing a book about mindful procrastination for a reason. I write the journals that I need at the time I need them. So I needed clarity and now I need help with like being more mindful about my procrastination. So I'm writing a book about procrastination. But in general, I once had, you know, it was like fun, like $5 tarot readers. I once had one tell me that I was a cricket and that I'd hop from one project to another. And that's my writing process. So, and that's my research process. Like I read 5 books all at once and then I kind of have to noodle about it for a couple weeks before I move forward. And it's funny because every time that happens, I want to, like, I start feeling like, oh, maybe I should be beating myself up, like pushing myself to do better, do more. But then there always is a reason that I was procrastinating. Like mindful procrastination actually originally had a different title. And I wrote half of that journal and I was like, this isn't working right. I kept pushing myself and I was like, this isn't me. And so then this one came up and it's like, oh, this is totally me. This is why I couldn't just push through. You know, like you hear the like commercial, just do it for Nike. And it's like, well, no, I mean, sometimes you actually need to give yourself space to like, to have things gel. Like if you try to push through it before it's actually gelled and solidified, you end up wasting a lot of time.
Yeah, I think I speak with authors quite frequently, thanks to the chat. And so I heard one author say, like, I have the idea and I spend a whole year thinking about it and then I write it. Like a year later, I'll write the idea. Like, and it'll be fast writing, but it's like I have a whole year of like thinking about the idea.
You know, I love that. And that's going to make me feel really good about the fact that I thought mindful procrastination would end up taking me 3 months to write. And I can already tell 2 months in that it's going to take a year, but yeah, that's okay.
It's okay. Like there's no rush. There's no timeline. There's no like, you need to produce. I think there's an expectation and within our society that we need to do it all at once. And the reality is that it can take us some time. Like it's fine.
Right. It's fine. Exactly.
It's awesome. So now let's go to a round of book recommendations. This is an opportunity to share with the audience what they should read next. So we're going to talk about Pride and Prejudice retellings. Okay. What do you love about Pride and Prejudice first and foremost?
You know, okay. So I don't know how many kids, I mean, you've probably watched a lot of kids programming, like kids TV shows when you were little, but I don't know how much you've watched as an adult. Like, I think what I love about Pride and Prejudice retellings is it's like, it's comfort food. Like it follows a basic premise, but they end up getting, some of them are so clever with how they retell it and how they change it around. Mm-hmm. But it's almost like how kids shows end up following the same formulaic. I mean, it's a lot cooler than the kids shows, but like the same basic premises, but with like interesting twists on it. Like, it's my comfort food. That's the best way I can say it. Like I do love other more cerebral books and genres, but it's what I come back to. I mean, I've been reading Pride and Prejudice fanfic since I first learned about it in college. And it just, you know, it's just the comfort food.
I love this. I got some recommendations for you, but tell me your recommendations.
All right. So my recommendations for this are The Rogue's Widow by Nicole Clarkson. And I like a bunch of her books. And she does all Kindle Unlimited. And I also really like Mischief and Mayhem by Christy Capps. And also another Kindle Unlimited author. So.
Oh, even better.
Yeah, and they both have a lot. So I've read a bunch of theirs, but I think those were my favorite of all of theirs. So start with those.
I love it. So I got a couple of recommendations top of my head. So I have not read them, but I know my prejudice recommendations. So Pride and Prejudice, Another Flavor. I think it's Pride and Prejudice, Another Flavors. Nali Depp. It's a South Asian family set in California. She's a doctor. It's a gender flip. So,
oh, cool. Read very many gender flips for that. That's fun.
There's Pride by E.B. Zaboy, which is set in Brooklyn and gentrified Brooklyn. And that's a YA, that's not like stuff. And then there's Unmeritable, and I don't know who the author is, but it's set in Pakistan, I think. So I'll get you the author and I'll put it on the show notes, but that's another one. So within the
woman, I want to read the Pakistan one. I bet I'm assuming it's written by someone who's Pakistani.
I think so.
That's really cool. If you ever want a good movie, there's like, what was the name of it? It's basically Pride and Prejudice in India. It's like a Bollywood take on Pride and Prejudice. It's a movie that came out when I was in college, I think. So a while back. I'll text you that. Because okay. That one's really cool too. That's a movie.
It's always like a new Pride and Prejudice like romance novel that comes up because it's a very, very good retelling. So I'll let you know when they come up. Like, if there's
any perfect
that come up. So, you also have non Pride and Prejudice recommendations. What are some of those?
So, obviously, I'm a coach. I love self-help books. I think my two favorite that I've read this year, I don't think either of them were written. I'm reasonably certain neither of them were written this year. I think the first one is Super Better by Jane McGonigal. Mm-hmm. And I love that book. It's also a really good Audible book, just because sometimes people would prefer Audible. And I love when the author reads well. And so I would say that one is one of my favorite self-help books I've read recently. It's all about kind of gamifying. It takes out the, what's the word? It helps you gamify your life, but not in a not like my 11-year-old boy who would love it. It's really more accessible for women. It explains a lot about gaming that I didn't really understand, like the psychological components to video games, and like then helps you implement some of the techniques that they've learned to help you make your life better. So the woman who wrote it was, she has a PhD in video game psychology or something along those lines. And she was in, I think, an accident. She had some sort of brain trauma. And in order to get herself back to feeling normal, like, she was talking about how she was so depressed, she was suicidal, like she was in pain all the time. And so Super Better comes from her deciding to use these principles on herself to make her life better. Mm-hmm. And they're very interpersonal. They're very like, create your team that's going to help like propel you along, like cheer you along, kind of like what we were talking about earlier about like my writing process. Like, it's very, it was just so interesting. Like, just her suggestions for how to make yourself feel better when you're not feeling well were just like so interesting, and so many different, so much information that I hadn't actually heard before. Like, I don't know that you know this, Laura, but if you experience something traumatic, like something that might cause PTSD, mm-hmm. they've discovered that if you play a game like Candy Crush, like something that's really highly visual, or Tetris, right after it happens, it actually stops the process of the memory implanting in your brain in a way that would repeat over and over again. Oh, and I actually use it now. Like, I am a weenie about scary movies. And sometimes I'll see something that I'm like, oh my God, I'm gonna have a nightmare about that tonight. And I just like pull out my phone and start playing. And I haven't had a nightmare about a movie since I learned about that. So obviously I don't want to like, movies obviously don't cause PTSD the same way. I'm not trying to like equate the two, but the information in it is just so interesting and helpful. And I've never seen it anywhere else.
I love that. I gotta pick this one up. So let's see. Tell us where you can find me online.
My website is beccaribbing.com. So Becca, it'll be in the show notes, but ribbing is RIBBING, like knitting ribbing. So, and then Facebook and Twitter are the same.
Awesome. Thank you, Becca, for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. And I really love that I was able to come back. At first, when we talked about me coming on, I'm like, oh, but I said I was working on this book like 3 years ago. And then I was like, no, I'm going to own it. That's totally fine.
Yeah,
but the book will be out. I'm sure the book will be out by the time this gets posted. So yeah. The book is out. I'm just going to actually just go ahead and say the book is out. Yes. Listeners here.
Awesome.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share it with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For book recommendations, author interview archives, and other fun book resources and tips, please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com. The What You Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Network. To discover new shows to listen and love,
please visit frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyourreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.